Okay, today's daf is Baba Basra daf Ayin Dalid. We are holding on the bottom of daf Ayin Gimel and Beis. Today's shir is sponsored the Zchus a Refuah Shalema for Rabbi David Sharfman, Rafael Baruch David Aryeh Ben Alta Hinda. He should have a Refuah Shalema. The Zchus of our learning should stand in his stead for Refuah Shalema. And we thank the sponsor very much for the sponsorship. We're holding on the bottom of Daf Ayin Gimel and Beis, and today's Daf is also all Agadat HaGemara. We're going to tell many different stories of Rabbi Bar Bar Chana, and specifically his experiences when he met a certain Tayyah, a certain Arab merchant who knew how to determine location and geography by smelling the dirt of different places, and he took him on all these journeys to see the Meisei Midbar, to see Har Sinai, to see the Adas Korach, to see the place where Shemayim and Aretz meet. So we're going to read about all of those experiences that Rabbi Bar Bar Chana had with that merchant. The Gemara is then going to tell several stories about unusual creatures and certain unusual treasures that were found in different spots. And then we're going to talk about certain enormous creatures that if they were to ever mate, they would destroy the world. And what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did about it in order to make sure that they don't mate and they don't destroy the world. And then the Gemara is going to discuss a little bit about how continents were initially formed and where rivers flow, and specifically around the area of Eretz Yisrael. So let's begin. We are holding toward the bottom of Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Beis, and we are at the Simen. Simen Kafra de Tchilta Tarkase Arkava Lasilte, about 5-6 line from the end of the page. Vamar Rav Bar Bar Chana, Zimna Chada Avakazina B'Midbara. Rav Bar Bar Chana says, I was going in the Midbar once, V'Slavi Ba'adan U'tayah, and a certain merchant was accompanying me. Tavashakal Afra Umarachle, and he had this unusual practice. He would take dirt, and he would smell the dirt. V'Amar Ha'urch L'Duchta Plan, and he would navigate using that dirt. He would say, oh, this must be the way to get to a certain place. Va or chaleduch toplan, and this is the way to get to another place. Samrinan lay, kama merachik on mimayo. We would ask him, how far are we from water? Va melan, havli afra. So he would say, give me some dirt. I need to smell the dirt. Ya vinan lay, va melan timni parsi. So we would give him some dirt, and he would say exactly how far we are from the closest water. Tanin bi avinan lay, armelan de merachakin tlasa parsi. Then another time we gave him dirt, and he told us that we're 3 parcels away from water. We tried switching the dirt on him and seeing if it would work, and we couldn't outsmart him. He was able to figure it out. So then this Tayah, this merchant, said, come, let me show you where the Meisei Midbar are, the generation of the Meisei Midbar. So we saw, and we went and we saw them, and it seemed that they were drunk, that they were intoxicated. Rashbam writes over here, Dimivasmi, the Gemara says, and they were lying on their backs, says Rashbam, Shoyushokhvin Bipanim Tsuavos Kishsuya Yayin. That's really going on the Mevusam part, not on the Ganua Parkin part. That they were lying with Panim Tsuavos, their faces were shining as if they had drunk wine. This is one of the rayas the Achronim bring, that when you say Besume, when you say that someone is Mevusam, it dafka means with wine. The Gilyonei Ashas, Rav Yosef Engel, Megillah, Dav Zayin and Beis, is Medayik from this Rashbam. Rashi, Maseches Megillah, also implies that way. The Gemara says, Amar Rava Mechai Vinish Levesume Beporiad Deleyada Ben Aram LeBaruch Mordechai. Person is supposed to become mevusam on Purim to the point that he doesn't know the difference between Aram and Baruch Mordechai. And Rashi over there says, Lishtaker Biyayin, to get drunk with wine. So also a diuk that is dafka with wine. The Rambam, the second paragraph of Megillah, writes, Ketzad Chova Sudazu, how does one fulfill the mitzvah of Sudas Purim? So he says, you eat meat, Vishosa Yayin, Achi Ishtaker Viyirdim Bishukhruso. And again, all about wine. So says Rav Yosef Engel in Gilyonei Ashas, how does the Rambam know that it's dafka miyayin, not from Shar Meshakrim? But must be that that's what they understood the word mevusam actually means. In the Chuvasar Advaz, Chelikal Vsim Tav Samach Beis, he discusses someone who takes a neder not to drink wine ad sheyachso lebeso. Is he allowed to drink yein mitzvah? What's an example of yein mitzvah? Kiddush Hayom, Dalet Kosos, that's certainly yein mitzvah. and Purim. So apparently he considers that to be Yei Mitzvah because it's Dafka, gotta be Yayin when it comes to Purim, even though the Gemara doesn't use the term Yayin, the Gemara only uses the term Chai V'Nishlu V'Sumei. But also V'Gadnu Aparkid, they were lying on their backs. Tosus points out that Mikanom Rabbeinu Tam Da Aparkid Pan of Lamala, that Aparkid must mean on their backs with their face up, V'Lo Kamo Shapirish Rabbeinu Chananel B'Nida U'Bebrachos Pan of Lamata, and it doesn't mean face down. Dim Kain Lo HaYachol Teha Lirchov Tu Sibirche, because we're about to see that because they were face up, their knee was up, one of them had their knee up in the air, and the merchant was able to ride underneath their leg when their knee was up in the air. You can't do that, you can't lie that way when you're facing down. So obviously they were facing up. Now the Gemara tells us in Maseches Nida and Maseches Brachos that one is not supposed to be lying down on the back. When one goes to sleep, you're not supposed to lie aparkid, whether that be on the back, on the front, whatever it might mean, that machlokas rishonim. But the poskim discuss in the Tshuvas Torah Lishma, he says, let's say someone's learning Gemara or some other sefer Misifrei HaKodesh, and it's difficult for him to sit by the table anymore, and he wants to lie down a little bit. So is he allowed to lie down on his back? So, or do we say that it's not derech eretz to learn that way? So he quotes the Gemara in Zvachim Daf Hey that Rami Reish Lakish Al Ma'oi Be Midrasha, and Rashi says that means he was shochev al bitno panav klape karka. So he did it in order to rest, not to sleep that way, but to get more comfortable as he was doing something else, that's mutter. So that's what they suggest, that maybe even though you're not allowed to sleep in certain positions, but to stam lie down in such positions might be mutter. The Rishonim have what to say about it though. So says the Gemara, so he was lying down, this Mesei Midbar, one of the Mesei Midbar was lying, well, all the Mesei Midbar were lying aparkid, vavizikiva birkei dechad minayu, and one of them had his knee up in the air. Va'ayil tayar tuse birke ki rachiv gamla uzukif varumche. And this merchant was riding on a camel, holding a spear in his hand, and was able to ride right underneath the knee of that person from the Dara Midbar. And the obvious imagery we're trying to portray is that these were very, very great people. You know, sometimes we read the stories of what happened to Klal Yisrael in the Midbar, and we think, wow, look how many mistakes they made. Look what terrible things that they did. And we don't realize the greatness of that generation, what it means to be a Dor Deya, what it means to be a Dor that was Mekabel the Torah. So we're describing in physical terms, but it's probably not meant to be understood in physical terms, probably meant to be understood that they were spiritual giants. Velo Nagabe, and even when he was riding under in the camel with the spear in his hand, still it didn't even touch the knee of this deceased person from the Mesa Midbar. Paski chada karna de tchilta de chad minayu. So Rabbi Abrahana says, once I had the opportunity, I cut off a corner of the tcheles of the tzitzis of one of them. V'lava mistagilan. And then when we tried to leave, our animals wouldn't budge. They wouldn't move. We couldn't leave. So Amali, the merchant, said to me, Dilma shakaltami de minayu. Did you take something from one of these mesim? Because we're not gonna move. If you did, the animals are gonna refuse to leave. So Hadre, I better give it back. The Gemiri demanded shakal midi minayu lo mistagile. We have a tradition that anyone who took anything from any of them is not going to be able to leave. So asli adarte. So we went. I went and I gave it back. And then we were able to go. So when I went to the Rabbanan to tell them my experiences and how I tried to get a piece of the tzitzis off of one of the Mesei Midbar, Amruli, they said to me, Kol Abba Chamra, anyone named Abba is a donkey. And just like it's not a compliment today to call someone a donkey, it was not a compliment then either. V'kol Barbar Chana Sichsa, and any Barbar Chana is a fool. And you are Abba Barbar Chana, so you're a total fool. L'may Hilchsa Avad Tachi, why did you do this? L'mayda Ikebe Shammai Ikebe Silal. What? You wanted to know, do we paskin like Beishamai? Do we paskin like Beisilal in terms of how many strings there are in the tzitzis? Beisilal says that there are 6 strings. Beishamai says that there are 8. So you wanted to know 3 or 4, 3 and 4, depending how you count, right? But that's what you wanted to know. How we're going to paskin? They also have machlokas about the length of the gedil, that how many knots and chulios you tie would yield at different lengths. One thing we know, the halacha is that it's supposed to be 2/3 of loose strings and 1/3 of knots and windings. So maybe you wanted to measure for that machlokas to figure out how we paskin in terms of the length of the strings. So what you should have done is counted the strings, counted the chuliyos. You had the evidence right in front of you. You didn't have to bring it home with you. You could have just looked at it and counted it, and then you would have had proper evidence, which is interesting. This is an interesting gemara in terms of the value of archaeological evidence. Meaning, what is that a tradition I have from my rebbeim that that's what I'm supposed to paskin? No, counting what I see that the mason had that apparently is enough, even though it's not part of my tradition. In terms of how to paskin, so you could argue, well, this is an agadah to gemara. You cannot derive the value of archaeological evidence from agadah to gemara. There are poskim that believe very strongly in scientific evidence in general, in anything in biology and chemistry that they would believe, but archaeology they're very suspicious of to make any determinations based on archaeology. Rav Asher Weiss is known to be extremely open-minded in terms of his knowledge of the Chachmos HaOlam and his willing to accept, facts as proven by scientific research and facts, and he but when it comes to archaeology, when it comes to determining the tcheles, he thinks archaeology is hasharos bialma. It's a bunch of guesswork. It's not anything that we could ever determine. So if you could find digs where there are tons and tons of shells of Murex trunculus right in the major dyeing industries, and still say, nah, I'm not sure that they knew that they were dyeing tcheles, that they were using this as a die, because it's a sharos v'alma. It's just estimation. So anyway, so this gemara sounds like they're able to use, on some level, they're able to determine the halacha based on counting the number of strings. Why was he taking off a piece of the tchelis? Marshar writes something much, much more over here, that he saw a mace that was in a talis that was kula tchelis. That's why we said the tchilta, even though tchilta throughout the shas is used as just a lashon that means tzitzis, but the Marshar takes it very literally over here, that he was wearing a beged shakula tchelis. Who would be wearing a beged shakula tchelis? He realizes it must be Korach. Korach was the one that wore the beged shakula tchelis and challenges Moshe Rabbeinu, chayiv betzitzis or pater betzitzis, his chut echad helps for a whole beged, so a beged shakula tchelis. So he cut off one corner of the talis in order that the talis should be pater from tzitzis, according to the Torah, that's mechayiv tzitzis on the beged shakula tchelis. And and the reason he did that was that Korach should not be omer ba'asulavo with a talis of dalet kanfos that's not mitziyetzis kilchasa. He figured he saw a Jew and he can save him from violating a halacha when tchias ameis comes, he's going to be wearing a beged of dalet kanfos. So he cut off a corner. He wasn't cutting off tzitzis. He cut off a corner because there were no tzitzis on that corner. That's what he was doing. So the socher asked him that maybe this mace is not Korach, and it could be he's one of the Adas Korach that were also wearing a beged shekula tcheles, and they don't have a chelak in Olam Haba. So we took something that didn't belong to him, and it was unjustified, and that's why we're not able to move. So when he told over this mace to the Chum misunderstood. They thought he had cut off the strings, and that's why they called him a fool. They said, why would you cut off the strings? Just count the strings if you were trying to determine the halacha, but that's not in fact what he did, says Marsha. What he did was he just cut off one of the corners. Also, that their criticism seems unusually harsh. The Rashbam says his name was Rabba Bar Bar Chana. He was Abba, meaning, but instead of calling him Rabbi Abba, they called him Rabba. That's how he got the name Rabba, because he was Rabbi Abba. Rabba is short for Rabbi Abba. And just like they called Rabbi Avina, Ravina. Ravina is a shortened version of Rabbi Avina. So they're telling him that he is, that Kol Abba is a Chamra, that he is a donkey, and that he is a fool. So the Ben Yoyada asks, how could it be that they're Mevazim so much? And furthermore, Kol Abba, every Abba is a donkey. You know how many Tanaim and Amoraim were called Abba? And also, how did the Chum know that called Bar Bar Sichsa, and what's the reason that he was called, that anyone's called Bar Bar is automatically going to be considered a Shota? So the Ben Yoyada says, no, they were not trying to be Mevazahim. In the Lashon of the Gemara, they call a forest an Abba. Abba is a Lashon for a forest. So they were trying to tell Rabbi Bar Bachana, who you would hang out alone in forests, and they said, Kol Abra Chamra, just that that in the forest you find chamorim that are going to graze, and they wanted to tell him that he should gain chachma when he goes in the forest to meditate and to be alone. But how could he say so, considering that he's someone who spends so much time thinking and contemplating and philosophizing, someone who's such a brilliant person? They were actually complimenting him on his brilliance. How could it be that he neglected to count the strings of the tzitzis? Meaning they were saying, in light of the fact that you're such a brilliant person, how's it possible that that you didn't count the strings of the tzitzis? What about the fact that it said, "Kol bar bar sikhsa"? Anyone who's a bar bar chan is a fool. So they meant to say, based on the aruch, that it's from the lashon that the Gemara says in Yevamos, that b'nei bidbaria are holich b'shuk k'shem arumim. So that's what they said, bar bar. They wanted to call him bar bar, that those are the people that are holich b'shuk arumim. That bar is, or he says, bar could be a lashon of riboy and chashivos, and bar bar is a riboy achar riboy, ein riboy achar riboy ela lema'it. So they're saying that you have this name that reflects a level of foolishness for someone who happens to be a very brilliant person. Okay, Amrlei. So then the story continues with the merchant, and he said, "Ta'ach vilach Har Sinai. Let me go show you Har Sinai. Azi chazay dahadrele akrava v'kaimu ki chamri chivarti." So he saw that there were these scorpions around Har Sinai, sort of like protecting it, and standing like these white donkeys. Shamati baskel shomeres. And I heard a baskal saying that, "Woe unto me that I took this shavua, and now that I took this shavua, who's going to be made for this shavua for me?" And the pashtus is, this is the shavua of Klal Yisrael being in galus, that if only someone would be made for the shavua, Kodesh Baruch Hu is not comfortable, is not happy about the fact that Klal Yisrael is in galus. It's not that he's forsaken us and allowed us to be here and is just going on ignoring it. No, Kodesh Baruch Hu is also upset. That's what the Gemara says at the beginning of Maseches Brachos, that every single day when we say Yehi Shmei Agadol Mevorach, when we say Yehi Shmei Rabbah in the Batei Knesios and Batei Midrashos, so Elio HaNavi said that Kodesh Baruch Hu every single day is regrets the Churban Abayis. That woe unto the children that were niglam al shulchan aviyam, and the father that destroyed his house. So when I came to the Rabbanan and told them this part of the story, Amrli, again they said that same insult. They said, "Kol Abba Chamra, Kol Barbar Chana Sichsa." So Abba is a donkey, Barbar Chana is a fool. Hayil Chalomer Mufarlach. He was looking for someone to be made for the neder. It was a golden opportunity. You should have been made for the neder. He thought that maybe the shvua that the baskel was talking about was not the shvua of galus, it was the shvua of the mabul, and he doesn't want to do that. He doesn't want to say anything against the shvua of the mabul, because then the whole world could be destroyed. Rabbanan imkein oili lama. The Rabbanan who criticized him said, "Well, then he wouldn't have said oili. He wouldn't have said, 'Woe unto me that no one that I made this the shvua.' The shvua of the mabul is a good shvua. It's not something that's a woe. Armle ta'ach." So he said, "Come, let me show you the Adas Korach." Chazai trey busy, I mean the place where they were swallowed in the ground. So Chazai trey busy, Vavakamafki Kutra. He saw that there were two cracks in the ground. There were these two crevices in the ground, and there was smoke coming up between these cracks in the ground. Shakal gavava da amra va'amshiga b'maya. He took a cluster of wool, he soaked it in water, uda atzisa b'rosho derumcha, and he put it on the top of his spear, va'aile hasam, and he put it there in the hole in the ground, v'chi'afik havi'ichra chichruche. And when he took it out of the ground, even though it was soaked in water, still it got singed, that from the fires of Gehenim that the Adas Korach is experiencing. Amali Atzis my Shamit Vishamit Tavu Amrin. So he says, "Why don't you pay careful attention? See what you hear from the other side. See what you hear them saying." Vishamit Tavu Amrin. And I heard that the Adas Korach was saying, "Moshe v'Torasu Emes v'hein Badayin." That Moshe v'Torasu Emes and they are Badayin. It's an unbelievable thing about timing. Rabbi Yechiel Weberman just texted me this morning. Remember the vart you told me about doing things on time and not procrastinating. I have no idea what the vart was, but he reminded me. He said that Adas Korach, for all eternity, for thousands of years, have to suffer and scream, Moshe Emes v'Saraso Emes, and that we're Badayin. Had they said it 1 second earlier, had they just started saying that 1 minute earlier, they could have saved themselves thousands of years of suffering. Sometimes it's, it pays not to procrastinate, that timing is everything. If they just would have come to that realization on their own, just a moment earlier, they wouldn't have been going through all of this. And he said, every 30 days, Gehenim stirs them up to this spot, like stirring meat in a pot. And this is what they say, Moshe v'soros emes v'hin badayin. They acknowledge that they were fools and that they were their claims were false, and Moshe in his Torah are emes. So that was the experience with the Adas Korach. Then the merchant said, let me show you one more thing. Let me show you the place where the heaven and earth meet. So I took my basket of food and I put it in a window in the rakia. I went to daven and I came back. I finished davening mincha or whatever, and I come back and I see that my cubby is empty. Where I put the food away is empty. You're not allowed to carry, you're not allowed to hold anything in your hands while you daven, the Gemara says in Brachos, because we're afraid it's going to ruin a person's kavana, certainly something that a person would be afraid of dropping. So a kikar is one of the examples, a food is one of the examples of things that you're not allowed to hold while you are davening. So he had to put it down somewhere. If he was going to daven, he had to put it down. So he saw this like little cubby up in Shemayim that he was able to put it down in. The fact that we're allowed to hold a sitter is only because that's part of the davening, that helps us with the davening. But stop holding foreign objects that you're afraid to drop, one is not allowed to hold during davening. That's what the contemporary poskim started discussing, whether one is allowed to daven from a smartphone. Meaning, on the one hand, it's the sitter because you're davening from it. On the other hand, it's something you're afraid of dropping because you don't want to drop it. And it's also, all the distractions in kategor nasa senegar. I don't know. There are lots of things that you could probably say about davening from a smartphone. Someone just emailed me, a rabbi in Los Angeles who was Rav Asher Weiss was there this past weekend. I think Rav Asher needed to bench, maybe Mimlov Malcolm at Soy Shabbos, and he couldn't find a bencher. So the guy said, here, I have it on my phone. Rav Asher said, no, I better not to have a bencher than to say it from the phone. He was not interested. So anyway, I realized if my thing was stolen, my basket was stolen, there must be Ganavim over here. I'm like, hi Gilgul de Rikiahu. No, this is the movement of the Rikia. If you wait here for exactly 24 hours, in exactly 24 hours, it will come back to this spot, and you'll see that that everything will be here. So it's no one stole anything from you. So that's the end of the Rabbi Bar Chana stories with this merchant. Just one point that I forgot to make: Tosos raises the issue that when Rabbi Bar Chana cuts off the corner of the talis of the mace of this mace that has the tcheles, so by the mace midbar, says Tosos, mashmahacha sheyesh tzitzis lemesim. It sounds like mesim are wearing tzitzis, and that's a whole sugya whether that should be true, whether mesim should be wearing tzitzis. No, it could be the Mesa Midbar. They weren't dead when they went into the kever. They dug their kever every year, and they would go to sleep on Tisha B'Av and see what happened. So it could be that's why they were wearing tzitzis. But we do have a raya from a Gemara Menachas, he says. That when you're preparing your tachrichim, make sure they have tzitzis. And also in the Medrash says, why is the Parshas Mekoshesh right near the Parshas Tzitzis? To tell us that mesim are chayiv in tzitzis. And all of this is difficult, says Tosos, based on the Gemara in Brachos Daf Yud Ches. That Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Yonasan were going in the Beis HaKvaros, and the tcheles of Rabbi Yonasan was dragging over the kvarim. So Rabbi Chiya said, pick up your tcheles, the mesim shouldn't say lemachar boyin etzleinu va'achshav mecharfen osanu, that they're going to be here with us pretty soon, and now they're mocking us because they have tzitzis and we don't. If the mason themselves had tzitzis, what's the mockery? It wouldn't be a mockery at all. So it sounds from there that the mason don't have tzitzis. So Tosfos says no, they do have tzitzis, but it's still a cherpa because they're not chayiv in tzitzis, because kivin shemes adam nasa chavshim in a mitzvos, they have no mitzvos, they get no credit for the mitzvah anymore. So that's why it's a cherpa. cherpa, even though they are in fact wearing tzitzis. So says Tosfos, okay, so now I've resolved it. Every Gemara indicates that Mesim do wear tzitzis. So why, Taka, do we cut off the tzitzis from the Mesim, Tosfos says? Our Minhag, Tosfos reports, is that we cut off the tzitzis from the Mesim. Why would we do that? So Tosfos quotes Rabbeinu Tam that tzitzis is an edus that a person is Mekayim Kolatorah Kula. That's the gematria of the tzitzis is gematria 600, the 8 strings, the 5 knots, gematria of Taryag. Now that we can't really be made that about ourselves, we don't know that about ourselves, that we're Mekayim Kol HaTorah Kula, it's only going to hurt us if we come with such false testimony that Lachar Me'ev Esrim, that we were actually Mekayim Kol HaTorah Kula. The Ri says that in those days Hayukul and Mekayim Mitzvot Tzitzis, they would all be Mekayim Tzitzis, they all had a Talis of Dalet Kanfos, so they all had Tzitzis B'mosam as well. Nowadays, a lot of people don't wear Tzitzis during their lifetimes, so if people aren't going to wear Tzitzis during their lifetimes, that's a real Bizayon, that they're going to adopt only wear tzitzis once they're dead. That's when they're going to start being Mekayim the mitzvos. So that's how the two days in the Bali Atosos, why it is that the minhag might have changed, even if every Gemara indicates that that Mesim do in fact wear tzitzis. Okay, Rabbi Yochanan Mishtai, Rabbi Yochanan told the following story. Zimna Chada, I was going on a boat once. V'chazina hu kavra dafke the reisha miyaman. I saw a fish stick its head out of the water. V'damyan einei kitrei siare, and its eyes shone like two moons. V'nafutz mayim mitarte zime kitrei mavri de sura, and water flowed out of its two nostrils like the two rivers of sura. Rav Safra was an unbelievable creature. Rav Safra m'shtay zim nechada hava kazlina besfinta. Rav Safra also told the story about how he was going on a boat. And he also saw a fish that stuck its head out of the sea. And it had horns. And engraved on the horns were Ana Beria Kala Shebayam. I am the lightest of the creatures in the sea. Vavina Tlasmea Parsi. And I am 300 parcels long. Vazilna Lepluma de Leviasan. I'm going to go be the feed for the Leviasan. I'm going to the mouth of the Leviasan because Leviasan is so enormous that I'm breakfast for the Leviasan. Amra Vashiahu. Is Iza Diyamahu. That creature must have been the Iza Diyama, the Bachisha Ivi Isle Karne, that it digs for food and it has horns, and that's how it scrounges for food using its horns. Rabbi Yochanan Mishtai, Rabbi Yochanan told the following story. Zimna Chadav Kazina Besvinta also was going on a boat. Vachazinu Kartalisa, Davaka Mikviba Avadim Tobus Margolios, and I saw like this chest that had all sorts of gems and treasures in the box. So Hadrila mani de kavri de mikri karsha, and surrounding it, sort of hovering around it, was a certain type of fish that are called a karsha. Nachis bar amurai lasua. So a certain person went, a guy who knows how to a scuba diver or something, went to try to fish it out, to try to get this this box with all the treasures. Viragosh ubay lishamte laatme, and the fish tried to cut off his thigh, tried to bite off his thigh for trying to go get the box. So he threw some vinegar at the fish, and the smell of the vinegar chased the fish away, and it didn't hurt him. It didn't harm him. Nafak paskala amarlan mai islchu bahadi kartalisa didbitu drabi chanina bendosa dasid deshay ditcheltuba letzadike lealmadasi. You have no business being by this treasure that belongs to the wife of Rabbi Chanina Mendoza, because this is going to be the box that she uses for the tcheles that she's going to make la asalavo for the tzaddikim. So that's why he was not allowed. This fellow was not allowed to access this treasure. Now it sounds from here the fact that the wife of Rabbi Chanina Mendoza is shadia tchilta balat tzaddika li almadasi sounds like women are allowed to make tzitzis. That's okay. Shitas Rabbi Tam in Gittin Daf Memhei is that a woman is not allowed to make tzitzis. The Gemara says in the Gittin over there, when it comes to ksivas tefillin and mezuzah, that women are not kosher for because ksharta muksaftim kol sheyeshno bikshira yeshno biksiva. And Rabbi Tam says so. Kolshkein mitzvos and nashim are not mitzuva like lulav and tzitzis. They're not kosher in the asiyas hachefza shel mitzvah. But Tosos disagrees. Tosos quotes other balei Tosos that disagree and say that women are kosher to make tzitzis. The Rosh brings the raya from the Maisa of Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, the Eishes Rabbi
Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, that she's going to be the one that makes the tzitzis for the tzaddikim, la'asa lavel. So you see that it's dafka, ksivas, tefillin, mezuzah, sefer Torah. That's what women are not kosher to do. But when it comes to tzitzis, they are able to do it. The Bir Halacha, Nor Chaim Siman Lamed Tes, derives from the Yad Ephraim, that if a woman were to be mekabel on herself, to be mekayim the mitzvah of tzitzis, she'd be kosher to put on tzitzis. And the Bir Halacha says, how does that make any sense? If that's the case, then there's no, the Rosh has no raya against Rabbeinu Tam. Meaning, if that were true, the whole thing is about, do women actually wear tzitzis? So since they don't actually, so that's why they wouldn't be kosher. But if they would actually wear tzitzis, then for sure. No, how does it, then the whole raya about the wife of Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa is not a raya. Maybe she wore tzitzis. Maybe that was a thing, that she was mekabel on herself. Rav Moshe has a tshuva, where the women are allowed to wear tzitzis. He says, as long as it's not a woman's, it's not a feminism thing, and it's a serving a Kodesh Baruch Hu thing. And the way to determine whether it's a feminism thing or a serving a Kodesh Baruch Hu thing, do you tell anybody about it? If nobody else knows about it, good. So then it's not a feminism thing. He also says you have to make sure that it's a feminine beged, so it shouldn't be a violation of Klei Gever. But strictly speaking, it's not like tefillin, where women are not allowed to wear tefillin. It's tzitzis is there's no issur bedavar when it comes to tzitzis. But it's so interesting. You know, there's a beferish gemara when it comes to a woman building a sukkah. Women aren't chayv in sukkah either. Sukkah's ganvach kasher. Isha builds a sukkah, 100% kasher. Tefillin, they're not chayv in beferish gemara that they're not chayv in. Tzitzis is sort of quite in between, because tzitzis, there's no gemara. So what the rishonim are really struggling with is it more like sukkah that they're pata from and they're allowed to make, or is it more like tefillin that they're pata from and they're not allowed to make? So anyways, that's the machlokas in the Rishonim, but it comes up over here. Rav Yehuda Hindua Mishtai, he told the following story. Zimna Chadavazinu Besvinta, he too was traveling on a boat once. A lot of exciting things happened to Chazal when they were traveling on boats. The Chazina Hu Evan Tavi said, I saw a precious gem, Davahadule Tanina, that a tanin, a large creature, was protecting nachas baramurai lasua, and a certain baramurai, a certain scuba diver, went to go get it. Asatinina kabay lemivla lasvinta. So the tanin came and wanted to swallow the whole boat. Asapishkansa paskilaresha, and a raven came and cut off the head of the tanin. Ishafichu maya vavudama. The whole water, there was so much blood. The whole water looked like it was an ocean of blood. Asatanin chavre shakle vitalile v'chaya. Then another tanin came, took the gem, put it on the first tanin whose head was just cut off, and the tanin came back to life. Hadrasa kabay balulasvinta. Then again, he came, tried to swallow up the boat. Hadrasa tzifra paskele reshe. And again, the bird came and cut off its head. Shaklua lahi eventova shadul lasvinta, and took that eventova and put it by the boat, so that they couldn't bring the tannin back to life a second time. So they had this eventova now that apparently had the ability to be mechayim esim. Savani tzipri melichi ba'adon. We happen to have some salted birds with us, Osvinu alayu, and we put the stone on them. Shaklua uparchulu bada, and they were salted dead birds. They were dinner. They were, and all of a sudden they came back to life, and they flew, and they took the stone with them. So we don't have it anymore. Tan rabbanan, ma'aser Reb Elazar b'shua shayban besfinu. Reb Elazar b'shua were on a boat. Vay Reb Elazar yashem Reb Elazar ne'er. Reb Elazar was sleeping. Reb Yeshua was awake. Nizdaz Reb Yeshua v'ninar Reb Elazar. Reb Yeshua started shaking. He trembled, and Reb Elazar woke up. Amalei mazay Yeshua b'neiman nizdazata. What happened? Why are you trembling? Amalei ma'or gadol reisibiyam. I saw something unbelievable. I saw this great light in the sea. Amalei shema enav shali levyasan reisa. Probably you saw the eye of the levyasan. Dichsiv, because the pasuk says that ve'enav kafapai shachar, that its eyes are like, they're like the sun. They're like the rays of sun in the morning. Amravashi, amalei huna bar nasan zimna chada v'kazlina b'midbar. One time I was going in the midbar, v'avi atma de bisra bahadan, and we had some basar with us, a thigh of basar with us. Pasachnu v'nakrina, so we started opening up to do nikur. You have to get rid of the gira nasha from the piece of meat. Va'anachna a'isvei, and we put it on some grass where we were going to cook it. At the meisinan tzivi, by the time we brought some wood, chalam itma, when we brought some wood, so chalam itma, the whole thigh came back together. We had cut it open. open and it had become a single unit again. Vitavinan, and we started roasting. Kiadron the Basar Tracy Archishasu, when we returned a year later, Chazinu Lahanu Gumri Dava Kamalachshi, we saw that there was still the coals that we made were still they were still active. Kiasai Likameda Memar, when we came to Amemar, Amrliya, who is for Samtari Hava? He was able to identify the Asev that we put it on. Hanu Gumri Duritmahava, and he was able to identify the type of wood that the coals came from, because that's what would last so long. That Taninim Gedolim is Arzile Diyama. Rav Yochanan Zel Levyasan Nachash Bariach, Levyasan Nachash Akalson. That there are two Levyasans. There's Levyasan Nachash Bariach, Levyasan Nachash Akalson. One is the male, one is the female. Shnem Rav Yoma, who Yivkar Hashem Becharvo Akasha. All the creatures that Hashem created in this world, He created male and female. Af levyasa nachash b'riach, levyasa nachash akalson, zachar nekev abaram. The two types of levyasan also. One was male, one was female. Problem is, if they would ever mate, it would destroy the entire world. So ma'as HaKadosh Baruch Hu, sires es hazachar, vahara kanekevas. What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do to address that problem? He was misares the male, and he killed the nekeva, umolchol tzadikim lasalavo. And he salted the nekeva to put it away for the tzadikim lasalavo. Shnemar vaharagas hasanin asher b'yam. That he killed the sanin asher b'yam, which is interesting that he was able to be Masaris. Normally we assume that HaKadosh Baruch Hu observes the Torah. There's an Isser in the Torah to be Masaris, an animal. In Shelas Yaivitz, Chelek Aleph Sim Kuf Yud Aleph, he says it's Pashut, that the Isser of Sirus applies to Dagim as well. Because the Torah never says a specific min that you're allowed or not allowed to be Masaris. You're not allowed to be Masaris anything. So he says, aye, what about the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mekayim Kol HaTorah Kula, and yet it says over here that he's Masaris HaZachar. So he says, Ein Lameidim Divrei Agada, you can't learn from this is not Gadat Gemara. You can't learn halachas from here. Furthermore, he says Sirus Bidei Shemayim is not Aser, meaning that there is such a thing as a Sirus Bidei Shemayim. And also however, the Malbim in Parshas Emor thinks it's a davar pashut that Sirus is Aser on Dagim as well. The pasuk says Ba'artzuchem, and we darshan Kol Shabart. That it does not apply to Dagim. The Malbim says it says Dafka in the pasuk Ba'artzuchem, that only things that live in the Aretz, not things that live in the Yam. And his rise from the Gemara Chagiga, where it asks Mal Lasarsa Kalba, and the Gemara says Kol Shabi Artzuchem Aser. Anything that's Ba'artzuchem is Aser. Min Chaschinuch is Mesupuk about this, about Dagim in Mitzvah Reish Sadi Aleph, where the Isser of Sirus applies to Dagim. Anyway, Va'af Be'emos Parayel Zachar Nekeva Baram Vil Malin Skakin Zalzem Machrim Kalon Kulo. There are other types of creatures that also they're so enormous if they were to mate with each other would destroy the whole world. So what did Hashem do? He's Masaris the male, and he took away the Taivas Tashmish from the female. And he put it away for the Tzadikim Lasalava. So why by the Levyasin didn't he do the same thing? Why do you have to kill the Nekeva? Couldn't he have just been Mitzanein the Taivas Tashmish? Now Dagim Pritze, fish are Pritzim, being Mitzanein would not have been enough. They still would have had tashmish. Beloved ibcha, why doesn't he do the opposite? Ibayseim and the meaning the put the do what he did to the male to the female and vice versa. Ibayseim and the keva melicha mali. It could be that salted female is tastes better. Ibayseim kivin d'sriv v'yasin zay yisarta l'sachik bo badin the keva lav orech ara. Since it says that the function of the levyasin is for Hakadosh Baruch Hu to be m'sachik bo, if it would have been a female, it's not respectful to say that Hakadosh Baruch Hu is m'sachik with the female. Hachanami limelchal in the keva. Why didn't he salt in the keva? Kavra malicha mali, bisra malicha lo mali. Salted fish is very good, but basra maliach, salted meat, is not as good. Vamra vidam rabbi shashabika shakarish bark liver solam, amrlo the sarshal yam, psach picha bal kol mevel shabolam. He told the sarshal yam to swallow up all the waters of the world. Amrlo vanavonsham, daisha amal bishli, I'm already saturated with the water, I can't handle anymore. Miad bad bo vahargos, Hashem kicked him and killed him, the sarshal yam. Amr of Yitzchak Shmamina Sar Shal Yam Rahav Shmo. The name of the Sar Shal Yam is Rahav. Vilmalei Mayim Mechasno. So Enkel Bri Yichol Lamud Breicho. And if not for the fact that water covers it, the pungent odor of the dead Sar Shal Yam would kill us all. Shnemer LeYir LeYeshchisu B'Kol Arkachi Kemayim LeYam Mechasim. Al Tikri LeYam Mechasim. It's not that the Mayim covers the Yam. The Mayim is the Yam. Ella LeSara Shal Yam Mechasim. The water covers the Sara Shal Yam, and that's why we don't smell it. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll continue discussing rivers, oceans. We'll pick up with Vam Ravida Amarav tomorrow.